Hello, this is Michael Ross with Straight Friendly. So our guest this time is from Turkey, Mustafa Sarıyılmaz. Did I say it correct?
Much better.
Much better, okay.
Better than some Turkish people.
And Mustafa, you are an LGBT activist from Turkey, right?
Yes, I am.
From Istanbul. Oh. I traveled once, actually only one time in Istanbul, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I think that our listeners would love to hear and know what it's like to be an activist in Turkey, and also what it means to be an LGBT person in the Turkey. How life looks like on daily basis in Istanbul?
Well, we are managing somehow. The situation is not that like great, but we are facing lots of oppression from the government, so which makes everything quite difficult. But as a queer person from Istanbul or living in Istanbul, we created our like safe zones for us, and there are some places that we go to as a queer people. You know, the LGBTIs hang around in the, you know, similar places or like same places. So we have our own safe zones, but when it is the like real life, you know, working or like living in some places, you have to live in some specific places. Otherwise, it would be like super difficult.
When we talked before, something which really surprised me is the fact that for people who are from the community and work for the government or even teachers, so it can be problematic to come outside of the closet, right?
Yes. If you're working for the government or like public places, like schools, or like if you're a, you know, police officer kind of, and if you're exposed as an like LGBTI person, then you would be dismissed. And we have some cases lately to like teacher and also a police officer who were just dismissed because they were just exposed.
How did they get exposed? Did they come outside of the closet, or someone found out about them?
Some found about them through applications, actually, you know, the dating apps.
Yes.
And then they just exposed to the managers, and the managers just...
But how did their managers knew that they are on those dating apps?
Dating apps are like known by the by Turkish people. The thing is that they're not using it much, or they are using it just to hurt people. You know, there are some like straight people who are using those dating applications to meet people to steal their stuff and money if they have. And if those people are from their work or so, they just like expose their situation to the manager or in the like office they are in. So they are dismissed because of the there's a clause for the public servants misbehaving through the moral and ethical situations. So they are using that clause towards the LGBTI members, and they just dismiss their duties.
Wow, it's really scary. Like it shows that the dating apps are not necessarily a safe zone, right?
They're not, yeah.
They're not.
Well, they used to be, but now there are some kind of like gangs, just a new kind of, you know, theft.
Yes.
So,
yes.
They're not as safe as they used to be.
Has this situation always been like that? Because from what I know, it was also easier in the past to organize the gay parades, right?
Yes. In the past, it was like way, way better, because Istanbul had the biggest pride parades around Europe and the like Middle East region. In 2014's pride parade, there were more than 1,000 people. 100,000 people,
wow,
attending. And since 2015 it is banned, and till that time, till like 2014, you know, we used to have our pride and pride week, because it's like a huge time of the year for us. Pride week, we are having, you know, panels, seminars, film screenings, concerts in different places, and they were all okay. But since 2015 we can only have our like panels and seminars and stuff, but we cannot walk in the streets anymore.
I think it's shocking, because many times, I think especially here in Israel, we feel like things are progressing, and also in some other areas in the world. But I think that Turkey is an interesting example of a place which actually the issue was quite open and visible for the public, but something has been changed. What, in your opinion, happened? Why did it change?
Why did it change? It is all because of the government's policies. They were a conservative government since the beginning, but they are in power since 2003. And since that time, till 2014, we were not in the spotlight because they really didn't care about us. So they still do not care about us, but they were let them be. And the time just passes. They have turned to be more conservative, and everything they do now is all related to the religious backgrounds. So whenever they are using something, they are using the Islam to oppress and to ban stuff, and they're using this for the last 5 years quite excessively.
So they're basically using their religion,
yeah,
as a kind of a reason or excuse. Maybe, yeah, for those things.
That is quite true. And till this year, we thought they were only banning the Pride Parade. And apparently 2019 showed us that they're not only preventing the Pride Parades, but also any kind of LGBTI related events happening in Turkey. You can have your events in closed doors, the concert halls or some halls where you can have your panels and seminars,
mm-hmm,
but you cannot have your events out in public. Because we
in Russia, if I'm not wrong.
We're turning into that way. Yeah, because there's this sports initiative called Queer Olympics. And it was taking place for 3 years. And this year, when they were having the sports matches again, the people went to the area of the events. They faced police officers and also water cannons waiting for them, because they were given a paper stating that the activities are banned by the government.
Are there any voices of known people, celebrities or politicians in Turkey that are against this kind of attitude of the police?
There are some celebrities, but they cannot make their voices heard a lot because it's going to cost them losing bookings and in the end they're going to lose many money regarding that. So they are showing their support to the community by sharing lots of things, especially in the Pride Week. So, they share about the Pride and the rainbow flag and everything. But most of that's it.
Is it allowed to hang the flag, the rainbow flag?
It is. But depending on the place that you are in, it can create some kind of problems.
But let's say in Istanbul, right, which is more modern, right?
It is more modern, but again, it depends on the district that you're in. Because mm-hmm, there are some quite conservative districts, and there are more liberal districts. And where our office is, in a quite centralized place, and it's a huge LGBTI friendly neighborhood, so we didn't have any problem putting the trans flag and the rainbow flag. But one of our neighbors is a quite conservative initiative, and they called our landlord. They requested from the landlord to tell us to remove the flags.
Did you remove the flag?
No.
Wow.
And
so they're still there.
Yeah, of course this is something quite basic step. If we are gonna take out the flag just because of one stupid phone call, mm-hmm, then what is the real thing that we are fighting for? Because we are not that visible and we are not that seen in the classical media, because Turkish people love classical media. So people watch a lot of TV, and we're not taking place in the TV. And if we do, it's all about the bad reasons that we're in. Again, LGBTI, gays have done that. Gays are like this. Gays are perverts. Because this is the this is the saying coming out from one of the ultra nationalistic and Islamistic newspaper. They create weekly basis LGBTI related hate news. And now Ministry of Interior just added to that, and he's also targeting lots of the LGBTI community and the associations as well now.
But you know, I think that what we see in many regions around the world is that today the LGBT culture is more visible in some of the places, and I think that there is a question of mainstream and underground. So I guess that in the mainstream and publicly it is difficult, but what about the underground scene in Istanbul?
Well, the underground scene is like really, really good, actually. Well, even though the things I just said might sound quite, you know, negative, I really have to say this, like LGBTI movement in Turkey has gotten a lot stronger. We are in solidarity more than ever. We are collaborating, we are communicating more than ever, and we try to, you know, have each other's back at all times. So that is one thing for the like activist environment, and also for the underground scene is the drag shows are super hit now.
Ooh.
Yeah, for almost like 2 years now. There is this drag persona called like Mother Oktish. Mother Oktish has created this zone for the LGBTI community and also the drag community. And now they are organizing bi-weekly like ballroom kind of events. They have reached quite a lot of audience, and they are now taking place in some singers' like music videos. And lately, Adidas just like collaborated with some of the queens. It is developing, mm-hmm. and also the things that like Turkey has been through made us create more solidarity between other organizations as well. Because like, before, LGBT organizations were the only organizations who were facing the oppression since their establishment. But after the state of emergency and the, you know, the fake coup attempt in like 2016, many organizations have faced oppression that we've been facing for so long. So we are now more in touch with them. And it also gives us more kind of empowerment on the things that we do.
In Turkey, you have 12 LGBT organizations,
registered, right? Ones, yes. But with student initiatives, you know, student clubs in universities and some initiatives, and there are some family initiatives as well. The number is quite high, actually. I guess the number should be more than 50.
50? Oh, wow. With how many people live in Turkey?
Turkey has 82 million people.
Oh, wow. It's a bit bigger than Israel.
A bit. Not that much, but a bit, yeah. Again, and only like 20 million lives in Istanbul.
In Istanbul, you said that 2 million people live there. And how many organizations you have there?
3 registered organizations, but with student clubs, it should be more than 20. But for like 20 million people,
yeah,
it is not enough again.
Do you see that those changes, political changes, has affected also the culture? Not only the connections between the organizations, but the culture itself? Say like in music, in like that drag queen that told us about. Do you see, I know, like in singers, do you see that they change their lyrics about that? Do they talk about it in some hidden way, maybe?
Actually, it is affecting quite deeply because the LGBTI movement itself is totally affected by the Turkish politics. How the Turkish politics are is the answer to how LGBTI movement in Turkey is. It is almost the mirror effect that we have, but it also affected the main artists' way of approaching things. And some of the like most you know, pro-LGBTI friendly artists, they changed their way of making their music videos. They're more inclusive. They are trying to add more, you know, LGBTI related content into it without having the intention of necessarily stating that they're, you know, LGBTI rights defenders. But they have created this like change in their lyrics and everything. And also, rap music is now a like huge deal in Turkey as well. And one of the rappers, he also added some views from the Pride Parade where police was attacking the activists. So it is like quite.
And
like
is he from the community?
He's not from the community, but
so he's a straight
huge supporter.
Person who's supporting.
Straight person, yeah, showing his support, which is like super, super important for us because it created the time and the view. And we see now we're not only having support from the, you know, LGBTI artists themselves, but also the, you know, straight artists.
Among your friends, and you're an activist, so I guess that many of your friends are also activists and people who are more visible. Do they live outside of the closet? Their families, friends know about them?
That's kind of like a complicated situation for many of the Turkish people because as I said, like Turkey is like 82 million people, and it's like huge geography that we're talking about. And Istanbul is a like getaway place for many LGBTIs. So
many people from all around Turkey are moving to
Istanbul. Yeah,
just like happening here. People move to Tel Aviv or to New York in the US. And
that is the main thing, I guess, in big cities or like in big countries. So like you find a place which you think would be more suitable for you to live in a like openly. So many of those friends and people that I have, they're open to their environment, you know, friends and in their workplaces. But the part to be open to their families, the ratio is like quite low. So they're not open. Many of them are not open to their families, but on the other hand, they're open to their, you know, day-to-day life.
And what about getting married and creating a family?
I guess like we really haven't thought about it at all, because we are in a position in Turkey. What we want is to be recognized by love.
By law.
Not by love. Love.
Low, okay. No so, love, only low.
So what we want to have is, you know, having the sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics to be included into the Turkish law. Mm-hmm. After that, we might be able to like talk about the, you know, getting married and starting a family. So like, there are some couples, you know, after some time that I know personally, they move in together and they have their life together. But I don't know if it can be counted as starting a family or not. But there are some examples.
Yeah, but like they're not necessarily getting married in the country, but they can live together. But also here in Israel, for instance, LGBT couples, if they want to get married, they have to go abroad, get married abroad, come back to Israel, and then it's sort of recognized. But in terms of adoption or surrogacy or other solutions for bringing families, it's quite complicated. We have to do it abroad. So is it the same in Turkey?
It is not the same in Turkey, because even if you're like gay couple getting married outside of Turkey, your marriage wouldn't be recognized in Turkey. So
and what about children? Adopting children from abroad?
It is the thing that we have never discussed on, and I don't have any people who did that. So as I said, like our priorities are like quite different, I guess. We never had the opportunity to think or like discuss about it. And on a like personal side of me, I wouldn't consider to, you know, get married or like have kids, you know, start a family, because it is too straight to do. Because there's this thing that we are being quite, you know, on the opposite side of it. And I really don't want to, you know, just copycat a like straight family.
The heteronormative model.
The whole heteronormativity thing that I don't want to get into.
Do you think if you were not born in Turkey, but let's say in another country, I don't know, for instance, Canada, do you think that your life plans would look different in terms of family?
Most probably, because the things that I would be thinking would be like whole different, because I would have a whole different mindset.
Because now, basically, you have to survive. You have to fight for the most basic things.
Totally, totally. And also, you know, living in a place where the political situation is changing a lot. And as an LGBTI person, I really have to be into politics. Not only being an LGBTI, but as a person living in Turkey, I really have to follow the politics. And if I were born in Canada, I didn't have to follow the politics.
You didn't have to deal with it.
Yes, I didn't have to deal with anything, apparently.
Are there any politicians or people in the opposition or generally politicians who, first of all, outside of the closet, and or at least they show support for the community?
There are some politicians who show their support to LGBT community, which is like super impressive. And
from the opposition only, or also from the coalition?
From the opposition.
I see.
From the government, no, like, they really hate the LGBTI individuals quite very much. So from the opposition, we have like quite big support. You know, they raise the LGBTI-related issues in the parliament. And if we are working with the mayors of some municipalities, they're like quite like pro when it comes to LGBTI related issues. They want to solve many of the things that we are facing. But again, it's not really quite effective because they're not the, like, ruling, but they're the opposition. So it takes some time. It's going to take some time. And back in like 2015, 2014, my organization created a like school of politics to encourage LGBTI individuals to be part of the like parliament and also be part of the municipalities. In 2014, there was like local elections, and one person was quite lucky enough to be in the municipality's parliament. So she worked quite hard to, you know, be the champion on the like LGBTI rights, because she was also subject to it. So she knew what ways should be followed. But for the like MP candidates, there were only like two candidates, and they received many, many threats. They had to flee the country.
From whom did they receive those threats?
Quite nationalistic, Islamist backgrounded people who are like...
But was it like from the government or anything?
No, it was from the individuals. Because like, once you are, you know, like out and wanting to be a politician, then you're directly on the cover of everything.
Yes.
So yes, you are recognized, you're exposed. So if a person wants to be in the parliament or in the like municipality, those people have to bear in mind that they're going to be exposed to the whole community, which is kind of super brave, but at the same time with the political tension in the country, kind of stupid.
It's difficult. It's a kind of a price that you have to pay for being.
Yes.
They have to be strategic. Eventually. One of my last questions would be, what kind of culture the people in Turkey and the community consume? Like, what kind of music, bands, singers, movies people are watching? Are you watching RuPaul's Drag Race by chance?
I'm a huge fan.
Ocean, tell you, stay.
Communities, things are like quite changing, but for the last 1.5 years that I can easily say, the queer DJs are super on the rise, and they're playing mostly, you know, electronic and like house music. This is the thing that we love, and
I love it.
Of course, it is the global trend right now, but at the same time, for the like, LGBT movement in Turkey, there is one non-changing thing. We love 90s Turkish pop songs.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, 90s are a like, huge different thing that we all love. Whenever there's like 90s party, we all go there. It's like huge, huge thing for us.
Turkey is also participating in the Eurovision, right?
Yeah, we used to.
Not anymore? I'm asking, I have no idea.
You're kidding.
Seriously. I do like the Eurovision, okay? I'm not the biggest fan, I'm sorry. I do like it.
How dare you?
I did go to the Eurovision this year since it was in Tel Aviv. Of course, yeah. Well, seeing Netta, I cannot say no. Is Turkey participating?
For the last 7 years, we are not.
Why? Because the songs are not good or what?
It is definitely not related to the songs.
Okay.
Please, we're talking about Eurovision. Okay, the songs are not that like wow kind of quality, but still they're amazing to listen to.
It's the Eurovision.
Yes. It is the Eurovision.
Trashy,
yes.
But,
yes.
What we like,
so the Eurovision song contest is shown in the like national television, and as we are getting like more conservative day by day, and according to the Turkish authorities, they said it is not a like fair game, so they decided to not to participate for a couple of years, and giving the note to the EU. If you just reorganize the, you know, voting system and make it like more transparent, we might think of getting back to Eurovision. But then Conchita Wurst won the Eurovision, and of course Turkish authorities had to create these like transphobic comments on it.
So basically, after Conchita won, that was the time that things has changed about the attitude of the Turkish
authorities. Yeah, they started to say like, we cannot show this kind of a program who has this stage. By who they mean like Conchita, because they cannot identify Conchita as he or she, because I don't know why, but they have to somehow.
But Dana International,
1999,
yeah,
And it was shown on Turkish TV, and it was like, oh, okay, like we all love Diana International.
Wow.
So yeah.
So now you cannot participate, but do they broadcast it at least
no,
in Turkey?
No.
Wow.
So whenever it is the time of the Eurovision, I just I have to follow it from YouTube.
At least, but at least that you have access to YouTube for.
We do. Thankfully, we do.
Like no, when I was traveling in Istanbul, so I turned on the Grindr and it didn't work. I was shocked about that.
Yeah, because Grindr is forbidden in Turkey since 2015. Mm-hmm. Which is like super funny because Grindr is forbidden, but other gay dating applications, they're all okay. It is something between Grindr and the Turkish authorities again, I guess, because like, I got in touch with the Grindr and said, like, you know, like, you're forbidden in Turkey, you know about that, right? Mm-hmm. They said, like, yeah, we do. Like, what are you going to do about it? And they're like, yeah, okay. We already have like 4,000 or 5,000 people from Turkey. That should be enough for us. And I was like, really? Because like in Turkey, for future planning, guys, if you ever plan to go to Turkey, download Hornet.
Hornet.
it is the most popular one.
The name says it's all.
yeah, totally, totally.
So it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it totally is. So yeah, there's some like stupid things that are happening. So see, like the Grindr is banned, but Hornet is okay, and we cannot show or we cannot enter the Eurovision Song Contest for like 7 years and having, again, some non-logical ideas and thoughts on it. But again, like Eurovision has always been a huge thing between the gay community in Turkey as well. So I have like WhatsApp group with my friends with whom we are discussing about the Eurovision at all times.
I think it's only proofs that even if the government, no matter what they do, they will not win the battle. They can try. But they cannot have a total win because the LGBT community is everywhere and will always be there.
Of course. Like, there is no winning for any kind of governments which try to, you know, just oppress the community. Because like, we are not the political party. We are not just the, you know, thoughts. We are the humans. We you know, carry our experiences, carry our lives with us. We will be here. They will be gone. At the end. Okay, now it is the
so
quite
do you
difficult.
See any hope for the future?
Otherwise, I wouldn't be an activist.
So things might change in the future, just as like they were a few years ago.
Yeah. Just, we were talking, like, in 2014, we had the, like, 100,000 people attending the Pride. Now we cannot have it, but it doesn't mean that we're going to have it back.
Your story definitely is a proof that activism always has to be some major part of the LGBT community. And even if things looks good, we cannot be sure that they will remain like that. So we always have to be prepared.
Totally. You cannot have anything for granted.
Last question for our listeners who, wherever they are, and I'm sure that some of them are, either if it's in Turkey or in Israel or in, maybe even in other countries, I'm sure that in some places it can be difficult. So maybe you have any tip for them, for our listeners, and also for a tip for hope. How do you get this hope?
Well, I'm not sure about any kind of tips because I'm such a like stubborn person in every single thing that I do, so it really keeps me alive most of the times. For the hope, I would definitely be saying the world has changed and changing because the change is the only thing not changing. lots of change that I'm using. I just like noticed that part, but still, if the things are not good today, it doesn't mean they're not gonna be. And if we really want to do something, if we want things to be changed for the better, we have to put our hands under that stone. If you don't do it, no one else gonna do it.
Yeah.
If you do not reclaim your... Reclaiming my time. You know that the American senator just said that reclaiming my time. It's like, I am reclaiming my rights.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like super, super difficult now. But again, try to be in an organization. Because organizations can totally affect your life in the most positive way. And it is the place where you can have the concrete results of like helping one another, helping a peer.
Probably we are way more stronger.
Yes.
When we are together and
of
when
course.
We cooperate.
That is the question that I ask myself at all times, you know, when I'm in bed, like, why am I doing this? Like, for who am I doing this? Just for myself or just for the other people? Because it is really tiring in many ways. You know, like, you're fighting for things, you're not recognized, you want to organize something, you have the backlash from the authorities and stuff. And but what really made me keep going is receiving those, like, thank yous from people that you don't know of. Like, you will never know those people, you will never meet those people in face to face. Like, even if you do, you won't know who they are, they won't know who you are. But again, like, coming or like receiving those, like, thank yous from, like, a quite distant place of the country or like abroad, that's the thing. That's definitely the thing, just that, like, keeps me going at all times, apparently. Having those, like, thank yous, like, touching people's lives.
Yeah, I feel very connected to that. But even the podcast is quite new, and I also received some anonymous messages also from people which have such interesting stories also, people who are in the closet. And yeah, I guess also that it's I didn't think about it until you said it, but yes, this the thank you is very important, I think, also. And maybe that's also a thing that we can as community do, to thank the people who fight with us or fight for us.
Totally. You know, the appreciation one another is like one of the most important things, actually, to be able to understand what we are doing. Because this is one of the most effective activism tools. You're going to put this online and some people will just, like, happen to, like, listen to this, and maybe it's going to touch their life.
Hopefully. Even if one, yes.
You know, you can reach, like, 1 million of, like, reviews or listening, even if you are a part of changing, like, one person's life. That is the thing that we need, actually. You know, we really don't want to change everything in one day, because we cannot. I wish we could, but there's the reality. And having a life out of the realness of the world or the places that we are in, it's not going to help anyone. But having these kind of tools, you know, even organizing parties, I think it is one of the most powerful things. Because, like, protests, they are totally great, but not every single person has to be activist. And for the ones who don't want to be an activist or who are not activists, organizing more like social get-together in some different places, that's also another way of doing activism. And I totally am for that, you know, having the LGBTI-related movies, documentaries. If people are going to, like, see those, and if they're affected by it for the positive, for the good, it's another element of activism. So I guess, like, we really have to as well think about the activism methodologies that we have.
So maybe even, like, community and celebration.
Yes.
Celebration and happiness is very important.
It really is.
And we do have what to be proud of and to celebrate with all of that. Because we chose to be who we are.
We get to choose, totally. And again, like, creating your own family, not by blood, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a biological family, but the family that you created by yourself. That's also a huge thing. And also the thing that we are lacking somehow, but again, it gives you the power to be yourself and to affect other people, because it has this, like, snowball effect. I am most probably affected by another person to be the person I am today. And maybe I'm also affecting other ones. And you are also, too. You are doing that, too. It's like, this is...
Also listeners.
Also listeners, hopefully.
Mustafa, I want to thank you. Thank you very much. How do you say thank you in Turkish?
In Turkish, you say teşekkürler.
Teşekkürler. So Mustafa.
Of course, Mihail. How do we say in Hebrew?
Actually, it sounds even a bit familiar to teşekkürler. We say toda.
Ah, toda.
Teşekkürler. Thank you, Mustafa.
Of course, thank you.